Okay, begin.
I'm Tom Peterson. I'm from northern Minnesota, all the way up about an hour south of the Boundary Waters. And I get to, we moved up there recently to be with our 16 grandkids, so I get to teach all of my grandkids prophetic worship. And it's like, it's just a beautiful thing. But by trade, I'm a geologist, and mostly in the environmental field, but I'm becoming, it seems like I'm becoming less and less of a geologist and more focused around ministry, but I haven't been totally seated into what I'm supposed to do when I grow up yet.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited about what the future of the Lord has for me, but all I know, it's just a wide open play field, and I am really excited about the possibilities of what the Lord's going to lead me into.
Perfect, man.
Cool.
Perfect.
Yeah. Awesome. Russ?
My name is Russ Gillespie. I live at Coaldale, Colorado, which is up by Salida. Born and raised. Growing up, I came to know the Lord at age 12 and been involved in and out of different churches, but about 35 years ago, Jesus just started getting a hold of me and showing me stuff, and it's like, it was the Spirit of God, okay? And as I started in that relationship, we went from a Baptist-like church to a non-denominational type church to a Assembly of God type church, and that's where I experienced some stuff that I never knew about, but it was all good, and it was all the Spirit of God. And over the last, and I lived my life up and down, you know, blah blah blah, but over the last 5 years, 6 years, Jesus has put his hand on me and started picking me up into the realization of how much he loves me. Like she said last night, seeing myself through Jesus' eyes, that is such a wow. When you dig into that, there's no end, and there's more. And I'm finding out there's more. And now I'm having encounters. Last year was my first year at the Spirit of God thing, and it's, yeah, all about. That's what it's all about. That's what he's all about. And the church we go to now is going into the same thing. And how should we live? Live Jesus. Live Jesus. It's all about our relationship with Jesus. All about. And there's more. Here I am, and I expect way more. This is just the beginning of a way more.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Thanks for that. Hey, man. Good morning. My name is Neville Burke, and I'm from Northern Illinois, close to Chicago. It's my first time here. I came with Pastor Andrew. It's a group of seven of us here. Most of us for the first time. And I recently became a part of his ministry a little over a year ago, transitioned from another ministry. So his ministry is pretty awesome. It's more what we were like looking for, you know, than just a ministry where it's like an hour and a half. His ministry, we could be there almost all day if that's what how the spirits lead. So we just really love that, and I just consider myself a vessel for God. Hallelujah! Just want to do everything He had ordained for me to do, and I'm an open vessel. I'm a willing vessel. It's just so much work out there for us saints to do. And stuff, so I'm just willing and just want to be obedient and do what he want me to have me do in a part of the whole grand scheme of things.
Oh, awesome.
Amen.
Cool.
It's beautiful. My name is Brian. I'm Stegman. God has me positioned in Georgetown Lake, Montana, and just a beautiful view, and amidst his wonders of his creation, moose and elk and bear and wolves and such. It's a conflict at times between world and spirit, but I'm a strengthened, sober, and in the spirit bartender. In a place of much unwind revelry and recreation. And I too am very young. It's 6 months ago or so, I was blessed with a grand God adventure that led me to a retreat in Wisconsin with Spirit of God Ministry. Amen. I experienced an encounter that really changed my perspective of who I am and how God loves me. His pride. You know, since then, it's been, you know, the pull of the world is amazing from my side of the bar. And I've come from beauty to beauty to shed the distraction and the heaviness of the world and of people just letting loose and free, and come to be free and to receive more of a fill, connect more in the spirit for what is we're all present to now. I'm grateful in many ways to God that He's given me this outlet and this education and awareness and outreach. And this ministry has really given me more of an awareness in the charismatic stream of faith. I've touched on a few other ministries that have shown me healing and shown me love and power and, you know, the power of God's love. But what I've journeyed to and what I expect when I come to this and these days is so much more, as you were saying. And just that allows my cup to overfill. It allows me to outreach in the spirit. It strengthens my sobriety against all that is against it in my life. And so I really have a second opportunity that's unfolded recently. I'm surrounded by geologists. We have a mine up the hill, and they've reopened it and are in the permitting process. And the owner has and project manager have embraced me and kind of brought me in as a trusted employee and as in the beginning. And so I believe the future in many ways is golden and bright. I'm surrounded by intelligent people, and that includes fellows maybe in the program, but also you all here today that lift and encourage and strengthen me through witness and testimony and story. And hallelujah for the opportunity to share and to know all of you that much more. John and Jim, Tom, it's Russ, it's just amazing, you all. Thank you.
Kevin?
I'm Kevin Hale. I'm from Northern Illinois. This is my fourth Colorado retreat. It's been a journey the last couple years. I mean, we've gone to the same church for 14 years, I think, but things have changed there, and it's a little more, turned the way we were thinking it should.
Yeah.
But, we've also been going off and getting involved in other ministries in Rockford, and met Neville there at one of the outreaches that we did. And we're meeting people that are more like-minded, and connections are being made. going to do something, but I don't know what.
Yeah.
The Lord.
And
agreed.
You know. So we're kind of waiting, but we're trying to prepare while we wait.
John?
John Mayer. I live in Whitewater, Wisconsin. And I grew up in the 60s. So I experimented with all that stuff, just trying to find who I was, what I was about, and everything. And then God decided, I'm going to find you. And He brought me to Christ in 1971. So I've been walking this journey for a while. But I grew up kind of in an evangelical vein. So it wasn't until 20 years ago when I met you or whatever, when we went on the first retreat. Well, it was actually the first retreat wasn't that long ago, but you were involved in Holly and Edgar's right. ministry all those years. Yeah. And so was Mary and I. And I totally got blown out of evangelical mindset and religious spirit to freedom when I came into this ministry. And got my gift of tongues through Edgar, and that's a testimony and a half.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that another day. But anyway, God blessed me with a lovely wife who dragged me to one of these meetings. I didn't want to go. I said, "Yeah, that you know that gift of tongues. That's nice for you.
Yeah.
I don't. You know, I'm fine. Great." And Edgar challenged me. And by the next day, I was speaking multiple languages and waking up in bed, but that's a long story. So, but anyway, my career, what I did for a living was I taught high school. So I taught high school art and coached gymnastics and in a public school, which was good because you need some soldiers out in the public schools.
Yeah.
And when they would ask me, the kids would ask me, well, what did you do on the weekend? I told them, you know, and you know, I had to be careful with the administration because there were times where I was able to lead some of my students to Jesus, and that was such a blessing because even today, 55 years old are Facebooking me saying, how you doing, Coach? Mm-hmm. Guess what? You know, I just started my teaching job. Thank you because of what you did in my life.
Yeah.
And you know how Lori talks about seed time and harvest? Mm. That long ago, I'm still getting blessed.
Thank you, Jesus.
You know, and so whatever we do, speak a word, and especially a word from the Lord that He's given you to memorize, and you speak it out anywhere, it's going to go somewhere. It doesn't return void.
Amen.
It lands somewhere. And that becomes fruit and legacy and total sense of purpose and blessing. So I think, you know, when I come here and Holly's got this new manna she's given, I'm feeling like I'm starting all over, man. You know, because I got so much stuff that still needs to be worked out so I can get into the next zone. There's always a next level, and it's adventurous. There's adventure in the spirit like there's adventure in the mountains. There's adventure in the spirit for all of us. And I think we're all going to come to a new place on this weekend. So be ready for it.
Right.
Be ready. It's coming.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Cool. Yeah. Thanks, John.
Yeah.
John Sparandio. I'm a painting contractor, painter by trade. I painted for years, and I my favorite preacher came to town, Andrew Womack, and he stopped what he was saying. He pointed right at me and he said, and you're supposed to be in business. And it birthed ACO Painting, and it stands for a chosen one out of John 15. You know, and as growing up, I was never the one picked. I wasn't chosen. I was the last one on the team. So for him to choose me, that was awesome. So
when was that?
What's that?
When was that?
That he spoke that?
Yeah.
I don't know. Is that Life Changers in Hoffman Estates or Barrington? I don't know where that's actually at. But
Years ago.
It was a long time ago. I've been in business for probably 22, 23 years.
Here?
I don't know.
Business here?
No. In Wisconsin. I'm from Wisconsin. And but he spoke that at birthday seal painting, and I've been in business ever since. And I didn't want to. I was just like, if he hadn't said it, because I didn't talk to people. I was totally introverted, and so I didn't. And the thing I hated the most was looking for a job. Now I do it for a living, so I don't advertise. so I'm always looking for a job, you know. But I stay busy, you know. And he just does it. He just works it out. And if he does, if things start looking dry, I said, "You brought me into this."
Yeah.
You know, like, what are we doing today? You know. So he just blesses me. But and anyway, I really believe a lot of times the people that work for me, and even the customers, like, there's been so many people that just work for me, and they're not there to paint houses and make me money. They're there because I speak Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, there's been a lot that just got saved right in front of my truck, and you know, and it's just in, literally, I had a lady call me, and she wanted her house painted because she's getting divorced. And I blew her off the year before because she don't want to pay any money. But she's like, I have to have it because I'm getting a divorce. And by the end of the conversation, I never painted the house. She accepted Jesus and had all, and all the materials for love and respect. So, so she don't call me anymore. But I never painted the house. It wasn't about that.
Yeah.
And so, but I'm a house painter, and but like you, I really believe that you know, I'm feeling less and less like a house painter, and more like, what do you got for me today?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
What do you got for me today? And I even leave my prayer closet every morning, not every morning, but I'm like, what are we doing today?
Right.
And I tell them I'm on duty, I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
You know, so. I don't know. It's just been, and Spirit of God too. You know, I mean, I was, he hooked me up in an early church, and then there's a bunch of dry years, and I couldn't figure out how to fully get free. He delivered me from a lot of stuff that was killing me, and then but I wasn't fully free, and then I met Spirit of God Ministries, and they even say we. This took us too long, and now we're teaching. They're giving us all the shortcuts. Deal.
Yeah.
I'll take them because I've been in the wilderness a long time too. You know, so I'll take the shortcuts, and I just love it there. And luckily, I live in Wisconsin. I get these beautiful ladies every Wednesday, and if they don't show up, this guy does. So I mean, you can't go wrong.
Yeah. Right.
So anyway, that's it.
Yeah.
It's a great team. We're teamed up with the people from Colorado, Dwelling Place, and this has been going on 6 years now. This is sixth year.
Yeah. Well, thanks, John. Dave, welcome.
Hi, guys. My name is Dave. I'm a carpet guy. It's not just a clever disguise. I don't want to be cool. It's my clothes get like this because of my occupation. God blessed me huge, even though... Yeah, you never know what's going to happen when you hang out in a vehicle of 15 hours with this yo-yo. But, you know, you brought me. I'm very grateful. And, you know, God's been working on me for a long time. And, you know, luckily I get to hang out with people like you that say, you know, well, you know, I didn't do that good at it. So I don't, you know, I'm not ashamed to say I am where I am, but I'm not where I was.
A good way of putting it, Dave.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
So we're, you know, some days I feel, you know, my feelings mess me up all the time. Mm-hmm. Gee, I should be farther along. I should be doing this. I should be teaching that. I should be doing this. No. I should be following God with all my heart.
Yeah.
And letting Him take care of that stuff. Mm-hmm. But since I'm a guy, you know, I think I got to turn all the knobs and the switches and do everything. And you know, he's showing me that that's incorrect, that he's in charge, and that when he works through me, everything goes good, which I have proven beyond any reasonable doubt, because when I'm in charge, I know, because it's not going so good. where it's very temporary when it is going good. So I'm, you know, I've been blessed to be with, you know, it used to be Edgar Bailey Ministries, and I knew Edgar, and the ladies, actually my wife, her mother, and Lori were in AA together, you know, back in the old millennium, and it's amazing what God can do with people who are willing.
Right.
It's amazing what he does to people who are not willing.
Yeah.
I just want to be willing and available so that he can continue to work through me to get me to where he wants me to be, not where I think I should be.
Yeah. Cool.
So I blew off the first year at Colorado because I thought my wife was a nut. Along with all the other Jesus freaks. It's like, why can't you? The stuff is in Walworth County. We get to go here, we get to go there. We get to go.
This is being recorded, by the way.
I know. Truth is the truth. Sometimes it hurts. My wife knows all this, so I got nothing to hide. But it's, you know, so it didn't make sense to me to keep, you know, traveling all these places, you know, Florida and Colorado. Well, guess what? If you do what God leads you to do, he blesses you. And then you understand. As a guy, if I'm always trying to analyze things, because that's when I'm a guy, then I miss, and then I miss, and then I miss. So I'm just trying, my heart is to follow God and not me.
Good, man. Awesome.
So my name is Joe, and I live in Whitewater, kind of close to Johnny over there. Got saved in 1980, so going on 42 years, a little over 42 years now. Got spirit filled while worshiping in my studio around 2003, I think. I'm not real exact on that date, but I was just worshiping, and I, the spirit just fell, and I had this like a Native American tongue that came forth, and it was really intense. I'm like, wow, is that like really real? Like for a couple days after, I wasn't sure it was real, and I'd go out to the car and see if it still worked. Just by
it
myself.
Still worked.
Yeah, I did, and yeah, it did. It still worked, and it's still working. So I do worship one time over there. Go here and there and get together as much as we can because now we're 8 hours apart. We still, you know, we seem to do most of our worship playing out is usually for Spirit of God. Tom introduced me to Holly in around 2005 maybe. So the day I met Holly, she says, the Lord told me to give you 3 CDs, and one of them was the Faith CD. One of them was Removing the Limits. So the Faith CD, I worked in Harvard, I was a printer. So I drive to work and I'd listen to that Faith. Sometimes I'd go on a motor, I'd listen to that Faith CD all the way to work, all the way back, for like a week, every day. You know, I was just trying to get that Faith message into me. So I'm still working on the Faith, but I'm, like Dave said, I haven't arrived, but I've left.
Yeah, right. So, that's a good way of putting it.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Joe. Yeah. So I don't think this is a mistake. I think the Lord handpicked you all for here right now. My name is Jim. I live here. So Jen and I live in Highlands Ranch, up the road a piece. We first met Holly, it's at least 20 years ago, and so we came out of a big church in Illinois called Willow Creek, and I was there for like 20 years, and I thought that was the pinnacle of attending church, that every other church in the world should be like Willow Creek. Maybe someday they'll be lucky enough to figure it out and do it this way, right? Well, we left that church because we wanted more, because we knew there was more. And so we were directed to this little gathering in
Crystal Lake, and it was Holly and Edgar, and they had this little side room in this church. And so I go to this thing, and I'm going, how come you guys get the little room? Didn't you guys have the big room? How come this church is giving you the little room? You guys should be like leading this thing, not in off some little, you know, closet. And it was like a little room. The room was no bigger than this room, right? There were a handful of people. We were really introduced to the Holy Spirit there, because at Willow Creek, the Holy Spirit wasn't really talked about. You know, very, very, very evangelical. A good seeker church, you know, brought a lot of people to Christ, but there was a limit at what you could get there, right? So we meet Holly and Edgar for the first time. Shortly thereafter, we were asked if we wanted to get our prayer language and be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, like, I grew up in a Christian family, very evangelical. What are you guys talking about? What is baptized in the Holy Spirit? What's the tongue thing, you know? So we both go, yeah. Janet goes, yeah, I'll have it. So she got her prayer language in 3 minutes. Huh. They pray for her, she got it, yeah. You know. And do you guys remember Holly and Edgar's ministry? Remember a guy by the name of Tom?
Yes.
Yeah, I know Tom.
Tom,
yeah.
Moore.
Tom
yeah.
Morris.
Moore. Yeah.
Moore, right?
So Tom comes up to me and asks me if I want my prayer language. I say yes. Tom comes up to me, puts his hand on my chest, and starts speaking in tongues. Now, this is all new to me.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to process what the heck is going on here. I'm not getting my prayer language, right? So his hands move up a bit, like around my throat, right? He starts screaming and yelling at me in tongues, right? So I'm thinking to myself, I don't think this is going to work.
Yeah.
Then he starts like squeezing my throat, you know, and starts really screaming at me and yelling at me in tongues. And I'm going, all right, time out. We're not doing this anymore, right? It took me another 2 or 3 years after that to finally get my prayer language, mm-hmm. because I had a problem up here.
Yeah,
I couldn't. Yeah. I couldn't make it make sense. I tried to process it. Finally, I had a pastor say, "Listen, it's this simple. Da 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 da. I tried it and I got it. You know." So in the spiritual realm, I've kind of like always been a step or two behind my wife, who was. She grew up in a Catholic background, but was very way more accepting. She didn't have the Christian ease that I did. So I was taught all this stuff. I had to actually unlearn some things,
yeah.
to relearn some new things.
Yep.
So that's been kind of my walk. I knew Edgar fairly well. Edgar was an awesome guy. Just a fantastic guy. I heard just about all of his stories. We'd go out to lunch quite a bit. And, you know, what an inspiration. So Holly and Edgar are very anointed for now. So that kind of brings me up to what I want to share with you guys. Some time ago, I've been, like, before the Lord, asking him this question. How now shall we live? Now, I'm asking that question. We're in a different world today. We're not in the world I grew up in, right? Hey, Frank.
Morning.
Morning. Where's the afternoon?
Someone sitting?
Nope.
Frank Herring, meet the group.
Hi, group.
Hey.
Hi, Frank.
Frank is a Colorado person. He lives not too far from we do, so we're the two Colorado people here.
Three.
But anyway, you know, back to this question. So I'm watching the world unfold for the last 2 or 3 years. I'm watching schools be different, government be different, you name Portland catch on fire and burn. I'm watching Minneapolis burn, and it's like, wait, this is like not normal. I didn't grow up in this.
Kenosha.
This is not normal.
Yeah, Kenosha.
So what's happening? What's happening around? And so I'm digesting all this, and I'm going back to the Lord quite a bit and going, Lord, how now shall we live in light of all this? In light of the fact that BLM is marching down the street, in light of the fact that the government has weaponized agencies to go after people like us, that it's not unusual for the FBI to knock on the door without a warrant and drag you off for questioning. And that's like normal. And it's like, Lord, how do we live in this? What is our role? Now, I'm going back to the fact that, and earlier I said, men and women are created differently. They have a different makeup, generally speaking. Men do certain things, women do other things. Women are more fall in the nurturing category. Men fall more in the hunters, gatherers, and protectors category.
And they're prettier.
Pardon?
And they're prettier.
Just like birds.
They're prettier.
Yeah.
Than we are.
So in its simplest sense, if that's who we have been created to be, how now shall we live? What the heck are we supposed to do when BLM and Antifa are marching down the street, lighting the place on fire? How are we supposed to live when the FBI knocks on my neighbor's door and puts him in the car and takes him away for questioning? How are we supposed to live? Like Frank and I live in Colorado, where abortion has just been codified into law. It is a protected practice in Colorado because it's made law. How are we supposed to live in that environment? What are we supposed to do? So I'm watching all this take place. It keeps piling up inside of me, and I keep going back to the Lord. I go, Lord, how are we supposed to live? Do you want us to do what the bad guys are doing, only on the other side of the fence? What do you want us to do? So as I put this question to the Lord, for about 5 or 6 weeks, he responds to me every time I go with that question. He responds to me in scripture. So I recorded, I wrote down all the scripture kind of in order on how it came to me, because the Lord knows us better than we know us, all right? Mm-hmm. So while I couldn't verbalize that very well, he knew what was going on in my heart about that question. So he answers me in my heart with scripture. Now when he answers me, I write it down. I take his word very seriously. I take the Holy Spirit very seriously. So then I'm expecting an answer. I expect him to answer me, and so I write down what he tells me, because I want to honor the teacher, right? So I want to share with you how that kind of unfolded for me, and then I want you guys I want your reaction to what the Lord's told me, because I'm guessing that you're looking and sensing life the same way I am. When you get out in the world, and I still work, so I'm out in the world, I'm seeing this stuff, I'm seeing everything all the time. And so I keep asking this, this question of the Lord. I mean, I'll give you an example. So I travel quite a bit, so I'm in the airport, I'm in a plane quite a bit, right? Well, I've watched travel change dramatically in the last 12 months. I mean, so it used to be okay. flights used to be on time, and things used to happen pretty regularly. They don't happen that way anymore. If you happen to have to catch a flight at the end of the day, there's a really good chance it's going to be canceled or it's going to be severely delayed, just because by the time the plane shows up at your destination, it was already severely impacted on schedule. So why is that happening? That's happening because there are a lot less flight crews, there are a lot less ground crews, and there are a lot less pilots than there used to be. And yet they're still trying to put the same amount of business through a handful of people. So, a month and a half ago, I'm in Salt Lake City. It's Friday afternoon. I just want to get home. It's a long week. And I'm sitting there at the gate, and then there's an announcement, you know, the flight will be delayed. And they always kind of, they don't shock you. They like to ease you into the pain. So it's a 20-minute delay. It's a 45-minute delay. It's a two-hour delay. And you're going, oh, you know, and they just kind of, you don't have any options. And so I get the first notice, and it's like a 20-minute delay, and then it grows to a 40-minute delay. So then I get up, and I go to try to find the gate agent, the two people that are sitting there at the gate, and they're not there. And so then I go walk down the concourse, and I find two new gate agents at a different gate, and I ask them about my flight, and they tell me it's delayed, and they give you all the same. It's like weather, it's mechanical, but it's really not weather and mechanical. It's the fact they don't have the crews. They do not have the crews. So they're getting people to work overtime. Pilots can only fly so many hours and then they're off the clock. They just don't have enough pilots. So I kind of explain my frustration to these two gate agents, and I explain to them, I'm not angry at you, I'm angry at the system, but I need somebody to tell this to, and so you're the two lightning rods that I'm talking to, all right? So I explain to them that here's what I think's going on. I think you're being worked to death, and I think the guys at the top made a terrible decision that puts you in this work situation. So I have two gate agents hear me talk, and they go like this.
Yeah.
And they go like that. And so then I leave that conversation. I think I'm onto something. I go down the concourse. I do the exact same thing again to two new gate agents. I get the exact same reaction. They listen to my story, and they do the same thing. They go like that. So then I walk away thinking, well, okay, I kind of did my thing. One of the gate agents follows me over to the window and says, sir, would you like pre-boarding status? Meaning, do you want to be the first one on the plane? And I go, this is not why I'm doing this. The reason I'm doing this is because I think you guys are kind of getting the short end of the stick. And me, the traveler, we're not dumb. We already figured this out. We know what's going on with you guys, and it's not your fault. And at that point, that woman that wanted to give me that that pre-boarding status started to tear up. Hmm. And she knew that I was like spot on. Mm-hmm. So I told her, I said, listen, my heart goes out to you guys, and I'm going to write a letter to the carrier. So a week later, I fired off a letter to the CEO of Southwest. And when you do a letter like this, you can't start with a bitch. You have to get into that.
Yeah.
Or they won't read your letter and take your letter seriously. So it was a really nice letter. I explained that we, the travelers, know what's going on. You're not pulling the wool over our eyes. We can see through the mechanical things, the flat tires, the bird in the engine, all that stuff. We know what's going on. You don't have the crews, right? So then at the end of that letter, I ended with two statements. I said, number one, your people are your number one resource. Forget the aircraft, forget the hardware, it's your people. You'll only go as far as that resource will carry you. And number two, it's never too late to do the right thing. And I later found out that that letter kind of went up the ladder a bit and found its way into some kind of a executive meeting just because how it was like teed up to them, right? That, hey, the flying public really knows what's going on.
Then the FBI agent showed up at the
then. Yeah, did you
write a letter? It brought him here.
So, and my nature is to, I'm an observant person. I ask a ton of questions. So I see a lot of stuff happening around me. So I tell that story to say that the things that are around us are changing. And because they're changing so dramatically, and kind of like in the wrong direction, so that's why I went before the Lord and said, Lord, what do we do? How now shall we live? So let me just share the beginnings of what the Lord said back to me. I'm gonna read my question to the Lord, and then I'll explain what the response was. So this was my question to the Lord. O Lord, Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we seem to now have challenges on every front, and in the natural, we seem to be losing more than we're winning. The political system, which originally was an extension of we the people, has been hijacked and is now controlled by evil people who continue to manipulate the masses through a rigged system. Only now are we waking up, realizing that massive structural changes are now required within our local, state, and federal governments to return the governing authority back to the people. We seem to be mired in a system that has one destination for us all, driving us closer to the full loss of our liberty, or what little we now have left. Lord God Almighty, I'm not sure how we live in our communities where we're intentionally being herded into pens of sort, where someone else will then determine our fate. Lord, I want to fight the good fight, but I'm losing focus as to where the fight is and then how to correctly participate with you for victory. The question that comes to mind now are, where do I start and what do I now do? And then I think I ended by saying, one thing I'm now convinced of is the fact that the current problems in America and around the world are not man-fixable. We're in a desperate need of divine intervention from you, Heavenly Father. As I study your word, it appears that you, in your infinite wisdom and design, knew this day would come. And as such, your plan included a redemptive plan administered through your son Jesus, and then also through your mighty right hand shaking the globe. So that was my statement to the Lord. It's like, I can't figure this out, but I don't know what you want us to do, right? So then, the first verse I get back is Hebrews 12, 25 through 29, which is, yet once more I will shake. That can be shaken. Are you guys familiar with that?
Yeah.
So, I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. Hebrews 12, 25 through 29. See to it that you do not reject him or refuse to listen to and heed him who is speaking to you. For if they, the Israelites, did not escape when they refused to listen and heed him who warned and divinely instructed them here on earth, revealing with heavenly warnings his will, how much less shall we escape if we reject and turn our backs on him who cautions and admonishes us from heaven? Then at Mount Sinai his voice shook the earth, but now he has given a promise, yet once more I will shake and make tremble not only the earth, but also the starry heavens. Now this expression, yet once more, indicates the final removal and transformation of all that can be shaken, that is, of that which has been created, in order that what cannot be shaken may remain and continue. Let us therefore receive a kingdom that is firm and stable and cannot be shaken, offer to God pleasing service and acceptable worship with modesty and pious care and godly fear and awe, for our God is indeed a consuming fire. Now, I think that shaking is coming, and me personally, this is my belief. I could be wrong. I don't think that shaking has anything to do with the second coming of Jesus. I think that's separate and distinct. I think the shaking is coming to reset the table for the Lord. And if in fact that is coming, we got a lot of work to do. Because number one, we got to get on the right side of the fence. We have to kind of break off from the Babylonian system. We can't be tethered to it. So if you are tethered to something that's going to be shaken, you're going to be shaken, right? So we have to come. We have to figure that out through the Holy Spirit and land in a new spot. And then we have to become the builders after the fact. So I'm in the construction world, and so every now and then there'll be a piece of property that is perfect for a new building, but it's got an old building sitting on it. So they don't try to remodel the old building; they blow it up and they remove it, and it's gone. You scrape the land, and they start over. I believe in the shaking, there's a scraping coming. And so, number one, we have to move on the right side. And number two, we have to be prepared to move into our calling, that why we were really created. We were probably really created to reestablish this country in a new vein that the Lord wants to do. So there's probably a big rebuilding effort in front of us that we don't know about, right? So what you think that the Lord created you for, maybe you understand a piece of that right now, and maybe there's a big revelation coming as to how he's really going to use you in ways you never thought possible. But he needs you. He needs your participation. He needs you on the ground building that new structure. He chooses to do it through men. He could go like this and it'll all be fixed and changed, but that's not how it was designed. We were all given free will. Unfortunately, you know, man went in the wrong direction. But so I believe we're seeing a culmination of evil. It's going to come to a point. We'll probably witness a shaking. It will clearly be from the Lord. It won't be man-made. We are in non-man fixable events right now. Man can't fix what this soup that we're in right now. It's not, you know, you can do things in the right direction, but you can't fix what's we're in a mess. But the whole world's in a mess, you know. So with that said, let me hear what you guys think about that, about A, where we are today, B, what that might mean for you, and how that, you know, is your heart willing to accept something new that will take you in a whole maybe different direction? But super, super exciting, because once again, men and women are created differently. And men have a need to have a purpose. And that comes through in their life over and over and over again. When you're a young guy growing up, there's a couple things you need. One of those things is you need to have your dad tell you you're okay, right? And you missed out on that in your life, there's a piece that's missing. Because number one, you got to be validated that you're okay. But then beyond that, you actually need to know why you're like walking around. You have to kind of have a purpose and a reason. And while the Lord has the final answer, what our purpose and reason is, we still walk around searching for like what's going on here? What am I supposed to do? Right? Now I don't sense that so much in women. Women have a different character, and I'm not saying one is better than the other. I'm just saying we're different. Most men need a purpose for like getting up in the morning and going after it, and the Lord created them that way, and so we have that internally. We're trying to figure stuff out. And when you land on that answer, there's peace that hits you, because you're not striving anymore. Amen. You're not trying to be a square peg in a round hole. You know, I'm walking around because the Lord made me this way, and I'm not arrived, but I'm going to continue to walk in this direction because I know the Lord is calling me in this direction. Right? So, John, as an example. Evangelism is what you wear, okay? You are an evangelist. And that'll take you in a lot of different directions.